my talk, if it could be given a subject, would be a life-saving talk. You know, when I was a kid, we had a candy known as Lifesavers. You remember them. Little round donut-shaped pieces of flavored sugar. Well, as kids, we had a joke that went something like this. If you found out that you were about to die and you only had 5 cents, what would you do? Of course, we'd say, we'd go out and buy a pack of Lifesavers. Because we all thought that was real cool at the time. Well, that was then, but here at the convention today, our brothers and I have been asked to deliver a 10-minute message, which could be a life-saving message on Bible truth. So let's suppose that we had a situation where we encountered someone who, due to a pressing schedule or a diverging path, we would most likely not ever see again in our life, and if we only had 10 minutes to witness them, to them and give them a synopsis of truth, that if it fell on good ground in their hearts, it might bring forth fruitage in some form or another in that person's life, and maybe save their life. What would we say in those 10 critical minutes to win that person to Jesus? Now, I know that the Father does the drawing, and we respond in that process by being available to witness to one another, to one, whether in season or out of season. However, if we only had 10 minutes, what would we say to that one? Well, depending upon the situation, I would try to determine where that person was spiritually. Did he or she have some understanding of God and Jesus? Were they an atheist? Were they a believer? And if so, what did they believe in? I might ask the individual to temporarily set aside any preconceived notions or teachings and try to listen for at least 10 minutes. Well, realizing that my 10 minutes were counting down and assuming that he was ignorant of God's plans and purposes, like I was 40 years ago, I would start with the kingdom of Christ on earth. I would recount the many ways in which God documents his promise to establish a righteous administration on earth by focusing on popularly known Bible characters. And who would I start out with? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where in Genesis 3:15 we read, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, in this case, it would be necessary for one to know and understand that a head injury in this application is one that ends in death for the one intended, and that is Satan. And he's the one who is acclaimed in Isaiah 14:16 as the man who made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. Satan is responsible for all the sin and death in the world. Therefore, the one who introduces sin is eventually destroyed and replaced with the one who will bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. Then I would move next to Noah, where in Genesis 9:12 through 14, God says, "This is the token of the covenant which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Abraham is the father of the faithful, and God promised him in Genesis 12:1 through 3 of a coming kingdom of blessing. He says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Isaac was the recipient of a subsequent promise to that effect in Genesis 26:4, where the promise is passed on to him in the words saying, "I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed and to all these unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, these concepts might not make any sense to our candidate unless he understood how our Heavenly Father intended for life to be in His kingdom, and not how it's become sidetracked for some 6,000 plus years. God simply did not mean to make life for man to be a temporary existence only to end in death. What He intended was for all mankind to live forever in peace and in harmony, reaching their full God-given potential to love and assist their fellow man in life on earth. Man was created perfect, without knowledge, and he was expected to obey his creator. As human beings, we expect the same with our children and know that it is for their ultimate good to obey. Man, as we know, disobeyed God and brought sin and death upon all. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. 4 minutes. Man, as we know, disobeyed God and he brought sin and death upon all. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, saying, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And as a result of this first disobedience, man's continued existence was described as shapen in iniquity, and in sin his mother conceived him. Psalm 15:5. Another thought I'd like to introduce to my listener is the fact that there's no hell of torment, and that its definition can be extracted in most applications from the Hebrew and Greek words to simply mean death and destruction. We know from Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, and not a hell of torment, as Dark Age theology has created. And death is a sleep, a temporary cessation of life, until a resurrection to life in the coming kingdom. Our candidate should know that Jesus died for his sins, and by his substitutionary death for Adam over 6,000 years ago, he accomplished the ransom for all that we talk about. And that by John 3:16, that popular scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A ransom for all. Hallelujah. No special favored classes. This is what the world has been aching for. Equal opportunity, no disparity in all aspects of their life. The desire of nations has come, as Haggai 2:7 says. In 1 Corinthians, we've been taught how man brought death, and by man, the resurrection of the dead has come. In 1 Corinthians 15:47, we read, the first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Well, coming back to the kingdom message, an emphasis on God's love for all of his creatures, both spiritual and earthly, is manifest in his message to mankind, the Bible. The Bible is God's love letter to the world of mankind. And in the secret of the high calling in Christ Jesus is hidden within its content. God's plan is for all of his creation that they could live and not die. They could be perfectly happy, as we read in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come